The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
And we're back after a holiday weekend. Welcome, everybody. What's up? Happy Tuesday. It's Fantasy Football Today, and we are recapping the weekend and giving you one question and answer for each eliminated team. Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard. We just completed a Dynasty draft that was actually broadcast live on the Dynasty stream. So if you want to listen to Fantasy Football Today Dynasty, you can hear the results of that. Startup Dynasty Superflex draft. All right, guys, agree or disagree? If the Packers and the Bucks play as well as they played in the wild card round this upcoming weekend, then they're going to be playing in the NFC Championship game. They will both get road upsets if they play as well as they played last week.
Yes. Agree on the Bucks. Disagree on the Packers.
Well, then you really don't think the Packers can win, huh?
No.
Because I don't know if they can play much better.
If they play like they did against Dallas, they're beating San Francisco.
I don't think San Francisco's playing like Dallas against Green Bay.
Right, that's the other side of it. No, I don't think Green Bay is going to win either, but I think it's going to be a competitive game. All four games should be competitive.
If the Bucs play like that, they beat the Lions.
Yeah, they played great. I mean, their defense was flying around. That was the most impressive part. I mean, I knew they could score on the Eagles. But
it was amazing how their offensive players could make the Eagles' defenders not tackle.
That was such a bad performance. Wow.
They quit before they got off the bus.
Is Brian Daboll going to be the longest tenured coach in the NFC East next year?
I don't think both get fired. I don't think both McCarthy and Sirianni get fired, but one potentially could go.
Yeah. I think hopefully neither get fired. They've done a lot of really good things there, but you know, there's a lot of very good coaching candidates out there this cycle, right?
They're all like getting, you know, you see like the path to where most of them are starting to go. So it's unless, you know, the money's overwhelming, or the job situation's that good, in both cases there probably are, then you can kind of see like the top guys are starting to get in their destinations.
Well, okay. What are you thinking? What are you seeing there? Who's going where?
Well, I mean, look, I don't think Bill Belichick's taking meetings unless he's pretty confident he's getting jobs. Like, I don't think he's just going to, you know, fly all over the country or do Zoom meetings with, you know, teams that he's not necessarily feeling comfortable. Like they're going to offer him a job. So I don't know how many more meetings he'll take. It seems like Atlanta could be a likely landing spot for him. I would guess Ben Johnson to Washington probably makes a lot of sense, you know, given the fact that that's seemingly the direction is going. Raheem Morris probably to Seattle, you know, it could be a situation that happens. Trying to think of the other top candidates are.
Who's Carolina getting?
Well, Harbaugh, maybe to the Chargers.
Harbaugh to the Chargers.
That's happening.
I mean, Vrabel's a wild card in all this, where he goes. But like, if the only way I'm firing Mike McCarthy is if Bill Belichick's going there.
That's what I'm saying. If you're Bill Belichick and you just met with Arthur Blank and the Falcons, okay, well, you know what? I just want to see if the Eagles or the Cowboys come calling. Those might be better situations. But we'll see. All right, let's do some fantasy talk here, and let's get one winner and one loser from Wild Card Weekend. Dave, who's a winner?
I can't stop thinking about Rashee Rice and what he could potentially be next year. And just an awesome game against the Dolphins. And I went and I looked, what's his target share been lately now that he's been like basically the main receiver for Kansas City since like maybe a little past the midpoint of the season? And here's what it is. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. His last 7 games, including the playoffs, his target share has been at least 21% in each game and 25% or more in all but one. So it's very clear to me that he's become a trusted part in the Kansas City offense. I don't think that's anything that's shocking anybody, but I wonder if he's playing well enough now that Kansas City thinks, yeah, we're going to add another wide receiver to the offense, but it doesn't have to be a game breaker. It doesn't have to be somebody that's going to move in and immediately be the number one. Maybe they think Rashee Rice is the number one receiver moving forward. And I love the sound of that. And he's played really, really well.
We just talked about that on Heath's Dynasty show. I was one of his guests during the mock draft, and I took Rice, I believe it was the 4th round, which I was a little surprised that he fell that far. The part of the conversation was Nico Collins went right in front of him. And so I said almost the exact same thing, Dave. Like, has he done enough that they don't have to go and break the bank on one of these guys that are going to become available if they so are inclined to go to Kansas City? You know, T. Higgins, Michael Pittman. Again, these guys may not get free, but the ones that are potential free agents, Mike Evans, you know, these type of players that, you know, can certainly help their team. But also, is it, you know, does that put him maybe in the secondary market, you know, for like a Marquise Brown type of player, you know, somebody that's not necessarily a headliner? Because clearly they have to plan for life after Travis Kelce. But, you know, clearly what he accomplished, if you want to take a look at the top 24 rankings on our site, there's a story on that. You won't see it under our rankings list, but the three of us and 4 other members of our staff, Heath, Dan, Chris Towers, and Jacob Gibbs, all submitted our top 24. And I know off the top of my head that I have him in the top 24, Rice, and Jacob does. And I believe Jacob is the highest on him, has him like almost in the mid-teens. He's a top 12 receiver for me. Love the setup for him. Again, that'll change if somebody of significance comes in. But, you know, after Jason Kelce retires, you know, who knows if Travis decides to join him as well. And they could be looking at an entirely new crew there in Kansas City, just not just Rice as the only receiving option.
Yeah, so we have a question here in the chat. Is Rashee Rice going back end of round 2 next year in full PPR? And that's why Jamie was talking about the top 24. In the draft that we did last week, I believe Dave took him 37th overall right after, or maybe I had the swing pick, so you might have taken him 38th overall after I took Jalen Waddle and T. Higgins. I think Rashee Rice was the pick right after. And honestly, you know, why didn't I take Rashee Rice? Okay, because we were using last year's rankings and I didn't see Rashee Rice, so I probably would have taken him. It was a little safer pick. But I also think if the Chiefs go out and lose this week and have a bad offensive showing at the Bills, it's going to light a fire under them to go out and address the wide receiver position. So that could certainly change him. I just have a hard time figuring out. I mean, he just doesn't do anything downfield. For a guy with an ADOT as low as Rashee Rice, it's crazy. But it's kind of reminding me of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Should remind you of Jalen Waddle, too.
As a rookie?
Yep.
But we knew at least Waddle in his profile in Alabama was a huge, like, deep play guy. But yeah, like, let's look at the last 6 games for Rashee Rice of the regular season. 43 catches, 518 yards, 3 touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown, better. 51 catches, 560 yards, 5 touchdowns. But that was the last 6 games of his rookie season. And we all discredited it, you know? Well, Hockenson was hurt, and Jameson Williams and that. Maybe it's just a true breakout and a stud. All right, Jamie, who's your winner from Wildcard Weekend?
To avoid the low-hanging fruit of the quarterbacks, I'll go with a guy that's going to make things tough on their franchise next year, and I think that's Aaron Jones. Coming off the 3-touchdown game, it's now 4 games in a row with over 100 yards receiving. For a guy that just turned 29 in December, fairly impressive to see what he was able to accomplish. Now, what they do this offseason is going to be fascinating because the quarterback is a stud. The receiving core is set in place to be, you know, fantastic, you know, based on what we've seen from, you know, at times from their top 4 guys, factoring the tight end too. And do they bring back Aaron Jones, who has a big cap number next year, for one more year going into his age 30 season? He won't be 30 again until December, but missed 6 games due to injuries. But you saw what he was able to do when healthy. AJ Dillon's a free agent. I don't think they bring him back. I think they probably draft to replace their backfield. So probably they restructure again. He restructured this year to stay. So give him, bring him back on a team friendly deal, you know, up front, you know, put the money up front so he gets something for this season, you know, similar to what he's probably going to get paid. And then does he have the ability to still be a starting fantasy option? I think people, if he has another big game against San Francisco, will probably reach for him too soon based on name and past history. We saw that with guys like Derrick Henry and Austin Eckler to various degrees. But obviously Aaron Jones, I think in the right spot for your fantasy team, for me, it would be probably like round six if he's still the guy there, will be a good number two running back that at times you'll have to probably replace. But clearly this offense is pointing in the right direction.
Four straight games with more than 20 carries and more than 110 rushing yards for Aaron Jones. Pretty crazy. And the three rushing touchdowns against the Dallas Cowboys. So a great finish to the season for him, no matter what happens against San Francisco. Do you think you would go with Aaron Jones or Raheem Mostert next year?
I will not draft Raheem Mostert next year.
Right.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. I mean, I feel like Achan is going to be a top 20 pick or something like that. But if they bring Mostert back, he's got 1 year left on his deal. Is he really not going to be the lead running back? It's not like he was bad. He was great.
No, but he'll be 32. I mean, that's just not the type of player that I'll be drafting. So, you know, late round pick, if he's still on the board, sure. But yeah, I'm very curious what Miami does with their backfield. You know, do they bring back Mostert? Do they bring back Wilson? You know, who's the complement to Achane? Because clearly he's going to need a complement. You know, he didn't stay healthy during his rookie campaign, and I don't know if they want to put all that work on him. So it could be Mostert. Wouldn't surprise me, you know, given his relationship with McDaniel and the staff there. But you'd hope to see maybe somebody a little bit with, you know, youthful, I guess, would be the best. Not better, but younger.
Mm-hmm. Mostert went in round six in our first post-regular season PPR mock, and Aaron Jones went in round eight. I wouldn't be shocked if you saw those two guys swap by the time we get to August, and maybe even further for Mostert, just based on what the Dolphins figure to do.
All right, wild card losers. Dave, you can go first again. Wild card loser?
So this is one where I think the low-hanging fruit makes sense to talk about, and it's Tua Tagovailoa. And he's just been a big loser, like coming into the playoffs and then running into Kansas City, he was just a total mess. And what happens if he struggles to start next year, what's the Dolphins' plan? And how does that impact Tyreek and Waddle? Is it going to come down to Tyreek making one or two huge plays, or Waddle getting chances to see a bump in targets when other teammates are missing? This offense is in trouble, because I'm not sure that Tua is going to be put back into a position where he can make big plays every single week. I'm real curious how the Dolphins move forward offensively. I was asked, what would you do? Would you keep Tua? Or would you cut him? I mean, you can't really cut him. I think what they should do is improve the offensive line, give Tua a chance to start next year, draft somebody if you want to, or find a free agent on the cheap. And then if he stinks, it's a contract year for him. You let him go. You draft another quarterback, and at least you've got the offensive line ready to roll moving forward for your new quarterback.
Okay.
Well, you're saying draft somebody next year? This coming draft?
I don't think they have to do it this draft. I would, if I were them, like the price tag for Tua is too high. I think they've got to keep him as their starter. But build the offensive line up so that the plan would be to just put a new quarterback there who could hopefully succeed if Tua struggles in 2024.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything but running it back for them next year in almost the exact same capacity with, you know, tweaking some things clearly. Sure. You know, you're hearing a lot of things about they need to get tougher. I don't know, you know, they weren't tough, but they just didn't win, you know, close games. You know, they ran the ball as well as anybody. They certainly put up points as well as anybody in the beginning of the season. Offensive line fell apart, and I think that was a big part of it. So, yes, building up the offensive line is certainly important. But I think Tua just kind of showed you what he was. You know, it's funny. He was drafted as the 13th quarterback, and he's probably going to get drafted 13 through 15 again this year, you know, based on how, you know, at least the rankings are looking from what the seven of us submitted. I think there's only one or two people that had Tua inside the top 12. And so then you factor in the rookies coming into this class and what that's going to look like, and it'll probably get pushed down another spot or two. So he's still going to be a good fantasy quarterback and certainly somebody that can win you weeks. He's proven that, you know, time and time again over the last couple of seasons under Mike McDaniel. But I don't think anything changes for Tyreek Hill. I don't think really anything changes for Jalen Waddle. You know, so unfortunately, he's probably still going to be one of those mid to lower tier number two receivers. Whereas Tyreek is still going to be one of the top five receivers in fantasy as long as he stays healthy.
You're spoiling our one question for the Dolphins.
Well, I mean,
teasing, Dave's teasing,
taking it in a different direction.
Teasing it. Yeah, no, no. The question is about Jalen Waddle, actually. And we'll get into him in a little bit.
Yeah, what idiot took him over Rashi Rice?
An idiot who needed updated rankings. All right. Okay, Jamie, sorry. You're a loser. You're a loser.
I'm going to take the lower hanging fruit, which is Jalen Hurts. And, you know, that was a miserable performance for the entire team. Obviously missing AJ Brown, but 5 rushing yards and the tush push got stopped. And now Jason Kelsey's gone. And so, you know, if the tush push is banned, which I don't know if that'll happen, but if he loses arguably his best offensive line, you can make a case Lane Johnson's, you know, better, but Jason Kelsey certainly is a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no doubt now who the number one quarterback is. It's 100% Josh Allen. You know, so we'll see what the offseason looks like for the Bills if Stephon Diggs leaves, however it all finishes. But there was, I think, some, you know, maybe potential debate of Allen versus Hurts. No, it's Allen. But Hurts now has to hold on, I think, to the second spot.
What if Diggs is gone?
I mean, look what he's been able to accomplish with Diggs doing nothing. And again, the threat of Diggs is certainly there, so you got to, you know, take that into account. And we have to see what they replace Diggs with if Diggs does leave. But Josh Allen, I think, is just on a different level right now. And, you know, what he's able to do still with his legs, tied Jalen Hurts in the regular season for rushing touchdowns, and that was without the benefit of doing the same things, you know, from the tush push standpoint. I just think that Hurts now went from – And again, another, you know, conversation on the Dynasty podcast, Heath was asking this. I didn't know Dave had the third pick. I had the fourth pick at the Superflex Dynasty draft. And I was, you know, going to be curious what I would do if Dave passed on Hurts, because Heath was asking the question, has CJ Stroud moved ahead of Jalen Hurts from a Dynasty perspective at this point? I don't think so, but, you know, it's kind of showing you the direction that Hurts is right now, where he was, I think, maybe, you know, slam dunk top three with Mahomes and Josh Allen. And he still should probably be there, but it's the luster is off a little bit. So not just because of this game, I think just the way that the whole season unfolded at the end of the year. And if they change head coaches, things may change also for Jalen Hurts. So he's somebody that got a little bit of a downgrade.
Yeah, it's ugly. I mean, it just doesn't look good for Jalen Hurts. I'm curious just how hurt he was. Yeah, obviously he's got the finger injury, but I just feel like he's been banged up so much this year.
Well, I mean, you saw it even on the failed tush push. Like, they tried to take his head off. Like, they're putting him in such positions to get hit often, and that's not good.
Which, by the way, was a penalty that didn't get called.
Sure.
I mean, that, you know, they did stop, and I was blown away that they stopped the tush push, but it was illegal as hell. All right. I'm just going to say my quick loser here for me is the Packers wide receivers. I mean, over and over again, it's a new guy every week. Yeah, it's amazing. And Jordan Love, to his credit, he'll just spread that ball around. He's not even throwing Aaron Jones right now. So I do wonder if we're going to be able to get any consistency from any of those guys next year. We'll hope we have another game. We'll see who steps up this week. But it was Romeo Doubs against the Cowboys. You know what to do at Sports Podcast Awards. Vote for Fantasy Football Today. SportsPodcastAwards.com. Click vote now. Best Fantasy Betting and Gaming Podcast is the category. Vote for Fantasy Football Today. It takes about 30 seconds to vote. You can scan that QR code or click the link in the episode description. You have about 10 to 12 days left to make this happen and help us win this award. We're going to take a break. We'll go through all the news and notes and one question for each eliminated team when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. give you some head coaching news. We had an offensive coordinator who has been fired. We just found out, breaking news a few minutes ago, so we'll get to that. I did post a picture of a sandwich over the weekend, Jamie, that you got to leave the stick in for Schneier there. That was a chicken and waffle sandwich.
Yeah, just use a fork and knife.
Yeah, I had to. It was too sloppy. Oh, was so good.
Little bacon
bits, bacon bits on top, maple syrup. Damn, that's like the second time I've ever had chicken and waffles. That's a very good brunch dish. Okay. The Patriots hired Gerard Mayo to be their head coach. Jamie went to college at the same... You didn't go with him, right? He was way past...
He's younger than me.
Younger than you, yeah. Probably my time. He was very good at the University of Florida. But I don't know. We have Gerard Mayo going to the Patriots. We have no comment on Mike McCarthy. Nick Sirianni rumors. Mike Tomlin walking out of his presser when asked about his contract. He has a year left. We don't have a lot. Yeah, maybe, Dave, maybe the biggest news for us to react to right now is really it's offensive coordinator stuff that's bigger for us, is Pete Carmichael out as the Saints offensive coordinator. So I don't know, your thoughts on any or all of the coaching stuff going on.
Well, I think it's interesting that Robert Kraft decided to hold the Mayo. Thank you. Look, Carmichael's been in New Orleans for a long time, but I believe the last 2 years, hold on a sec, I got to clear my throat. The last 2 years, he's been calling the plays for them. And I look, it's not like the offense really was amazing. I like how they played toward the end of the year, but they didn't win enough, and they decided to move on from him. It'll give an opportunity for someone else to come in and be an OC and try and make good things happen with Chris Olave and, yeah, everybody else that's there that's young, like Taysom Hill. No, I know Taysom Hill is like 35 years old. I'm on a roll today.
He's heating up.
I'll stop with it. Bottom line is that there's definitely room for improvement in New Orleans, but I don't know what they're doing at quarterback. They're almost in the same boat the Dolphins are in, where they're pretty much forced to stick with Carr for a year and see where it goes from there. But I don't think anybody's going to take them seriously as being a powerhouse offense with Derek Carr.
Yeah, actually, we have a comment in the chat from Eric who says, Adam, I'm so upset about the Eagles, I can't even type in the chat. My hands are still shaking. You had to have seen this coming, Eric. I mean, they were a sinking ship, you know? Come on.
Seems like he typed in the chat.
He had someone do it for him. And someone said, nice NBA Jam reference. Thank you. Been working on that. I've been teaching my son that. I said, hey, when you make two shots in a row, we have this like little Tykes hoop downstairs. You know, you say I'm heating up. And then when you make three in a row, you say, I'm on fire. So he keeps making shots and going, I'm fired. Like, no, that's not. That's
so,
what I'm supposed to yell.
So since you never make three in a row, what do you say?
Adam says he's on fire after one in a row.
That's on fire for me. All right, some Dolphins stuff. GM Chris Greer said the goal is to have Tua Tagovailoa stay with the team long term. So at least publicly, they say they're committing to him. However, his left tackle, Teron Armstead, might retire. Armstead's getting up there in age, and he's hurt all the time, so he did not commit to coming back. Mike McDaniel is open-minded about giving up play-calling duties. What? People are overreacting, I think, but okay. And Raheem Mostert does not need off.
That could be an effort to keep Frank Smith, though.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah. He's getting interviewed. Raheem Mostert, according to beat writer Adam Beasley, does not need offseason surgery. There's some Dolphins news. All right. Jason Kelce is reportedly going to retire. Who is the better Kelce, in your opinion, when it's all said and done?
Man, what a family. Better question is more accomplished brothers in the NFL, Mannings or Kelce's?
Ooh. Mannings have more Super Bowls, right?
Mannings have more Super Bowls.
Do they? Mannings have three, and the Chiefs have how many? Two?
Mannings have four.
Correct.
Oh, the one with the Broncos. My bad.
It was only Super Bowl 50, Adam.
He wasn't even good that year, though, was he?
Somehow they won the game.
No. Yeah. Kelce's have two. Three.
Kelce's have three? Chiefs have won three?
Chiefs have won two.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, right. I forgot about the Doug Peterson Eagles.
The greatest maybe parade speech in history.
Mm. Well, that I remember.
Well, you remember the speech, but not that how he got.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. No,
well, you remember his outfit. You don't remember the speech.
All right. So three for the Kelseys, four for the Mannings.
No, it's two and three, but sure, it's three and four, whatever.
Okay. I mean, you could argue, obviously, that Kelce is the best player at his position ever.
And I'm sorry, which Kelce are you talking about?
Travis Kelce. I thought I said Travis. But some people think Jason Kelce is the best center ever.
So he's a six-time first-team All-Pro. And from CBSSports.com, of the 54 players in NFL history that have earned six or more first-team All-Pro selections, all of them are in the Hall of Fame, except for the ones that are still active, Aaron Donald, Zach Martin, and Bobby Wagner. But so that's amazing. I think Travis Kelce is a four-time first-team All-Pro. But Kelce is really, in case you're not aware, he is that good. He is up there, one of the best centers of all time.
Yeah, I don't think he's the best, but he's in the conversation. I would say the Kelces are more accomplished as players. I mean, yeah, Eli won two Super Bowls, but I don't think anybody puts him in that category of player.
No. Eagles defensive end Brandon Graham wants to play his 15th and final season for the Eagles. Rams tight end Tyler Higbee may have torn his ACL. Jordan Love had the highest quarterback rating in postseason history. And I believe I saw that Tucker Kraft dropped a pass in the fourth quarter, and if he had not done that, it would have been a perfect passer rating.
Well, Stroud was right behind him.
And then, I didn't keep up with all of the Bills' injuries, but I do know that Christian Benford, one of their cornerbacks, left with an injury. They were already missing cornerback Rasul Douglas and safety Taylor Rapp. So it's kind of an underrated storyline, but the Bills' defense, and they also lost a linebacker, one of their best linebackers.
Their best one, Terrell Bernard.
Yeah, so we got to check their injury report going into the game, but I am a lot less confident now in the Bills than I was because they got seriously banged up against the Steelers, and hopefully they can get healthy in time for the game. And Noah Brown will not be playing this week. He is on IR with a back injury, so he's out for the season, however long that lasts. All right, one question for each eliminated team. Let's start with the Browns. Who should get drafted first, David Njoku or Amari Cooper?
Who's the quarterback?
It's definitely Deshaun Watson.
Oh, do they have buyer's remorse? I would say Amari Cooper.
What'd you say, Dave? You said Cooper too?
I said Cooper too.
Njoku's numbers with Watson were bad.
Agreed, yes. And Cooper's, by comparison, were really good.
Yeah, Watson has this thing for Elijah Moore. So here are the numbers in just the Deshaun Watson games. He played six games. I'm not counting the game, but he threw for 10 yards and left after, I think, five pass attempts.
Now this is five games, right. So yeah,
five games with really Deshaun Watson playing 90% or more of the stats. I'll just give you you want the 17-game pace or the five games?
Or would you rather the fantasy point averages?
Super Bowls did the Mannings play?
You could give me that after. Here's the 17-game pace based on the five games with Watson. Amari Cooper, 95 catches, 1,632 yards, and seven touchdowns. Elijah Moore, 75 catches, 632 yards, three touchdowns on 116 targets. And Njoku was on pace for only 88 targets. 68 catches, 598 yards, and three touchdowns. But Cooper was incredible with everybody that wasn't Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
He's getting older. You gotta worry about that a little bit for Cooper. But still, I think this is his, like, he's not. I don't think he's 30 yet. I think he's 29.
He'll be 30 next year.
So this feels like his Evans Allen year. You know, one last great season and then move on.
Well, the 2023 or you think 2024?
2024. I think he has one more good year. Maybe not to those heights, but, you know, good enough season.
Yeah, 1,600 yards seems a little high.
Yeah, no. Well, Watson staying healthy also seems a little high.
Fair point.
All right, let's just take a look at where they went in this mock draft. Dave, what's the fantasy points?
17.6 PPR points per game for Cooper. For Njoku, it was 8.3 PPR points per game and 4.3 non-PPR points per game on 5.2 targets per game. Five games.
Yeah.
Where A's are statting out the game that he barely played in. By comparison with Flacco, Njoku averaged 18.2 PPR points per game and 12.2 non-PPR points per game. More than double Flacco. He was awesome. And so the hope is that the Browns realize that or that Deshaun maybe realizes that you got to use Njoku more. It's stopped.
Well, the first Houston game is the best example they could show because both guys were awesome. Clearly, Amari was a monster, but both guys had big games in that.
Right. So keep working on implementing Njoku in the game plan, and hopefully Watson will settle on him.
In his last 11 games of the regular season, he scored including the postseason, double-digit PPR points in 11 of his last 12 games. This is David Njoku. He scored 16 or more PPR fantasy points in each of his last five games with Flacco, including the postseason. He just was great after the first five games, and there were probably four different quarterbacks in that stretch in those last 12 games, including the postseason. Njoku was great. Njoku finished as the number six tight end in fantasy per game. And in the draft, and this will be the last thing I'll say on this, in the draft we did last week, Cooper went with the 10th pick of round four, and Njoku went with the 8th pick of round six. So a two-round difference. Our next question is for the Miami Dolphins. Do you expect a Jalen Waddle bounce back? Jalen Waddle was the number 22 wide receiver per game. And in 2022, he was a top 12 guy overall. And he was, let me see, number 8 overall and number 14 per game. So do you expect, Dave, a Jalen Waddle bounce back?
No. I think we know what he is now. I hate to say it because he's very talented, but as long as everybody's healthy in that Dolphins offense, I just don't think there's enough to go around for Waddle to be where he was. Where was he? Like last year, 13 games with Tua, he averaged 16.8 PPR points per game. I've got a hard time believing he can ever get back there, given how the Dolphins operated this year and how they should probably continue to operate next year.
What do you think, Jamie?
I don't think he gets back to that, but I think he 100% bounces back. He was hurt all the time.
Yeah.
And so just by nature of him being healthy, he'll be better than the 22nd receiver per game. So will he get back to being top 12? No. But 17, 18, 15 in that range, 100% if he's healthy. Yes.
Yeah, he didn't play that many snaps this year. He played last year, 2022, Waddle played more than 70% of the snaps in 13 of 17 games. This year, he played more than 70% of the snaps in 6 of 14 games. He just was not on the field. And honestly, there are a lot of metrics that were really encouraging for him. Target per route run rate, way up. 27% target per route run rate this year. Yards per route run, up. Catch rate, up 5%. The biggest thing that was missing, two things. One, playing time, and two, deep balls. He just didn't have those big explosive plays. So that's, you know, look, that's not easy to do, but that hurt his numbers. I think it's great.
I think they also fell victim a little bit in the middle of the season of Tyreek chasing 2000 and trying to make that a focal point a little bit too much. And so I think that hurt Jalen Waddle a little bit. But look, the run game was awesome, and that took away from it, you know, especially when Achane was on his game. But if you tell me that I'm getting Jalen Waddle at a discounted price, like where you got him in the draft, Adam, wasn't the wrong spot. I think, again, there were a couple guys that went after him that I would have taken over him in that draft. But if you tell me end of round three, beginning of round four in a three receiver PPR league that I can still get Jalen Waddle, I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, and that was 36. And Dave, are you okay with Waddle there? Or do you think that was too early for Waddle?
It's going to be right around where I would start to consider him. I'd like to do some sort of comparison of his ADOT over each of the past 3 years. I'm in the middle of looking at that right now. Last year it was 10.4, which is a little bit behind Tyreek and well behind some other receivers on them.
Now, when you say last year, you mean 2023?
Yeah.
Okay. It's probably, yeah, I don't know. What last year could be 2022. I don't know what season you were.
We're still in the 2023 season. I like to say this past season.
Yeah, let's just say that year, I think.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Dallas. One question for Dallas. Can Jake Ferguson become a true must-start tight end, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, he was this year, and you know what Dak's history is with tight ends. You know, you go back to Jason Witten, to Dalton Schultz, to what he did with Ferguson this year. You know, what's the kid, Schoonmaker? You know, maybe a little bit of an issue if they decide to give him a little more opportunities, but I think they've kind of found what they – you know, like in Ferguson, you know, you heard throughout the course of the season from the broadcast, which means is what they're talking about in their pre-broadcast meetings about him being the enforcer, you know, and the team kind of relies on him to be sort of like their hockey guy. You know, if anybody gets in trouble, you know, he's right there to defend them. So I think they like what he brings. I think he certainly proved that he could play. He certainly proved that he can be productive. He proved that he could be a good fantasy option. So, I mean, given what he was able to accomplish in 10 catches, 3 touchdowns in the postseason, I know it was a lot of garbage time with them coming back, trying to chase points against the Packers, but that thing just speaks to Dak's reliance on him. So the second receiver is still, I think, a mystery for Dallas moving forward because Brandon Cooks at his age, Michael Gallup, you know, clearly has not delivered coming back from the ACL. I think Ferguson is clearly that second guy.
He averaged 10.3 PPR points per game in 9 games when he had at least 7 targets. That rose to 12.6. I don't think that that's any shocker. Dalton Schultz in 2022 averaged 9.5 PPR points per game. Schultz in 2021 had 11.8. He was with Dallas those years. So Ferguson's taken over that role. I don't think that role is changing anytime soon. To call him a must-start fantasy tight end means what exactly? Like a top 12 right. tight end?
No. So I guess
he's that for sure.
Yeah, because Jamie said he was a must-start tight end this year. So he was number 10 per game, number 9 overall in PPR. To me, not one of the true must-starts. You know, I mean, 761 yards and 5 touchdowns in 17 games, and the number 10 tight end per game in both non and full PPR, by the way. That's not a must start to me. I will rephrase it then.
Well, let's compare him to Njoku.
Yeah, like Njoku.
Who are you drafting first between those two?
Oh, Njoku by a mile.
I would as well.
But, Trey McBride became a must start. Njoku became a must start. I don't really think Ferguson reached that level to me, but maybe there's a different word I should be using for it. I don't want to say elite because no one's going to say he's going to be elite, but like tier two, you know. Top 6 type of tight end? Do you think he's
no? I don't think he gets there. But I mean, again, what was Jason Witten? What was Dalton Schultz? What is Jake Ferguson? You know, they're touchdown dependent type of guys. Occasionally, they'll have a 70 or 80 yard game that you'll be like, okay, this is cool, you know. But it's not exactly like you said. You know, the top 5 or 6 guys. You know, if you want to extend it, maybe 7 or 8 guys are somewhat locked in going into the season. That I don't think really there's going to be a lot of change. Maybe Bowers changes that if he ends up in the right situation and people get too excited about it. But he's not going to. You don't consider him better than LaPorta or McBride or Kelsey at this point, or Andrews or Kincaid. I think, you know, is trending in that direction as well. You know, is he in that next group with a Hockenson coming back from an injury? Yeah, I would put him close to that. If Hockenson's right, he's certainly better. Evan Engram, if, you know, building off what he did last year, especially when Christian Kirk was out, so if they move on from Calvin Ridley, you get that type of upside. I'd take Engram over him. You said Njoku, we see the upside of what he can be. So those guys are certainly going to get drafted ahead of him. But in that next group and waiting on tight end, great or late, you know, he's in that late category that you could feel very comfortable about taking him as your number one guy.
Here's another fun fact. Njoku had 17 red zone targets. Travis Kelce had 20 red zone targets. Jake Ferguson led all tight ends with 27 red zone targets.
Wow.
He also had 12 end zone targets.
Yeah.
Like he ranks high among wide receivers in those categories. And that's just part of what his role is in Dallas. And I don't think it's changing.
Yeah. I took him with the last pick of the 11th round in the draft we did last week. I was one of the last people, maybe the second to last, to take a tight end.
You'll probably get some, Luke Musgrave is better than him, or, you know, depending on what the Texans look like. Dalton Schultz, you know, people might get excited about him if he's still the guy there in Houston.
Bowers in Chicago.
Kmet in Chicago. You know, I think these are all guys in the same canoe. You know, if you're looking at it from who can be starter safe versus starter upside, you know, and I think Ferguson is starter safe as opposed to starter upside.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we'll talk about the Rams, the Steelers, and the Eagles when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the sun. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Yeah, probably the most exciting game of the weekend. Detroit 24 and the Rams 23. Probably. Yeah, no, it was definitely the most exciting game of the weekend.
Oh, by far.
Was it a great weekend? I was disappointed. But the Rams go home, unfortunately, 1-point losers. But Puka Nacua goes crazy with 9 catches, 181 yards, and a touchdown on 10 targets. My question for the Rams is, why not draft Puka Nacua, the number 6 wide receiver per game in full PPR as a rookie? Why not draft him in the first round, Jamie?
So he's in the conversation. You know, I think based on the draft that we just did, you took Garrett Wilson at 13th overall. There's certainly a case that Puka is better than Garrett Wilson, you know, maybe not based on talent, but based on situation and opportunity. And definitely, you know, where the quarterbacks are trending right now, because Stafford was awesome this year. You know, can you trust a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers coming back from an Achilles injury behind that offensive line? So I have no problem if you want to say he's in the early part of the second round or the late part of the first round. You know, it feels like there's going to be some regression coming because teams will figure out maybe how to defend him and how to defend the Rams, if that's a thing, because Sean McVay's been doing this forever since he's been in the NFL. It was Cooper Kupp always open. Now Puka Nacua always open. He's a member of the Breakfast Club, so it's not like he's changing and Stafford's going to be not relying on him. And you saw how the season, you know, finished where it was, okay, can, you know, we had this debate how many times, Puka or Kupp, you know, who's the better of the two on a week in, week out basis? And it was Nacua by a mile to end the season, you know, just how he finished and Matthew Stafford relying on him. So he definitely is in the conversation. If it's a very heavy receiver draft, 3-receiver PPR league, you can certainly put him at the back end of the first round. If you start to get skittish about the running back starting with Kyren Williams and Devon Achane and Travis Etienne and those guys are going to go back into the first round, beginning of the second round. I certainly get it. You know, so he's got star written all over him. He played that way. He performed that way in his first playoff game. He was just an absolute stud. So you just hope that it's not a one-year wonder. I don't think it is. So back into the first round certainly can be in the conversation.
Okay, Dave, there's nothing to add, Dave. I mean,
the only thing I would say is he's probably a tier two wide receiver. I can't put him ahead of any of the tier one guys, Lamb, Tyreek, Jefferson, Chase, Amon-Ra. Like, those guys are going to go ahead of him. You measure him up against A.J. Brown, measure him up against D.J. Moore, Chris Olave. Like, I think you can make the case for Puka over all those guys. I got to remember to say the K in his first name when I talk about him. 18.7 or more PPR points on 9.7 targets per game in each of his final 3 meaningful games with Kupp. The pitfalls are obviously Kupp is healthy next year. What happens if Stafford goes down? What happens if the Rams add another wide receiver? Like, there's all kinds of little things that could come into play, but I don't know if I see a path where his target slides so far that he's not worth at least a second round pick.
Well, 2 things you said there, though. One, they did have another receiver. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson was putting up pretty fantastic numbers. So whether it's him or somebody doing things like him, there was another mouth to feed there. And the thing with Stafford, I mean, you can say that with every quarterback. You know, Adam made this case about CeeDee Lamb. You know, what happens if Dak Prescott goes down? Or I think, sure, it was more the other way around.
Right. It was Dak. What happens if Lamb.
But I mean, you know, we went through this all last year with Tua about what Jaylen Waddle looked like and what Tyreek Hill would be if Tua went down. You know, so, you know, any of these quarterbacks that have issues, you can certainly, you know, point to that and say, okay, it's a problem. Look what happened to Ja'Marr Chase when Joe Burrow went down. So I don't want to make that part of the discussion, but it's something I guess you put in the back of your mind.
All right, next question is for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the question is, for 2024, Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren? Najee Harris, they both played 17 games, so they finished higher, you know, first full season and per game. Najee finished higher than Warren in both non and half PPR. Warren was better than Najee Harris in full PPR, finishing number 20 overall, 29th per game, though, Jaylen Warren. And neither of them were top 24 per game in any format. But Dave, who do you like better, Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren in 2024?
Don't love either one of them. I could easily see Pittsburgh moving forward with a different running back than either of these guys. But if I had to pick between these two, it's Warren because of his role in the passing game.
Jamie?
Why would they move on from these guys?
Because they're not great. They're not great. They're just not great running backs. They can address other positions like quarterback and keep them for another year, I suppose.
I don't see
if they have the chance to get another running back who's more explosive and can handle the wear and tear.
They should absolutely do it. I don't see that happening at all. I think the thing that you look at first off, who's the quarterback? That's the biggest question. Coach clearly as well. I would give a slight lean toward Najee to get more carries. Warren, a lot of his receiving numbers came from non-Kenny Pickett quarterbacks. And so how much of that matters, you know, because he went on this big spike at the end of the season with his role in the passing game when it was Trubisky and Rudolph, as opposed to what he did with Pickett the majority of the season. He certainly has catches with Pickett, but it was a little different. So I give a slight lean toward Najee, but I wouldn't want to draft either one as a starter.
I think if you want to be optimistic about, we're not going to get drafted as a starter. If you want to be optimistic about Najee Harris, he did have a better year, 4.1 yards per carry, which was a career high, but he also had 8 carries of 20 or more yards. Problem is none of them went longer than 25 yards. So he's never going to give you a breakaway, probably not going to give you a breakaway run. I think his longest run, he has 834 carries. His longest run is 37 yards. So that's, we know what he is, but he does score touchdowns when they're near the goal line. He did it in the second half of last season. He did it a little bit in the second half of this season. They've just had a terrible offense. They're like bottom 5 in scoring 2 straight years. If they can get their offense together, then maybe Najee could be a reliable number 2 running back. Meanwhile, Jaylen Warren, his advanced metrics are among the best among running backs. You know, I won't go through all the numbers, but yards before contact, yards after contact, explosive run rate, avoid rate. I mean, he's one of the highest in all of those. EPA, success rate, top 20 in those when I looked at running backs with 100 or more carries. Just don't think he's ever going to get a lot of carries, unfortunately.
Well, I think the thing, if the approach is you want to take one of these running backs, you take the one that's last. And, you know, then you're getting maybe a flex option that you can use. Because if you're, you know, look, Najee was one of the more overdrafted players this season, certainly the beginning part of the draft process. You know, once everybody saw Jaylen Warren perform in the preseason, he was one of the most hyped sleepers that we've ever seen. And so I think you look at Warren and what he can become, you know, it almost feels like we were talking the same thing about the Dallas situation a couple years ago, you know, with Zeke and Tony Pollard. That was the clear comp that, you know, was made this past season. So if Warren gets more opportunities, then you'd love to see that. But I don't think the Steelers are changing their approach, again, unless the coach changes.
And they had so many opportunities to change their approach this year. How many weeks did we sit here going, you know, Najee looks terrible. This offense is better with Warren. And they never made the move. I think that they just weren't comfortable with Warren being a feature back.
Right.
And I don't know if they ever will be.
Okay, last team would be the Philadelphia Eagles. And our question is just in general about their running backs. Do you think we can get a top 12 running back on the Philadelphia Eagles? Can an Eagles running back be a top 12 running back? And before anybody says, oh, Miles Sanders 2 years ago. Yes, Miles Sanders 2 years ago was top 12 overall, but was not per game. Per game in full PPR, he was 15th. No, he was 22nd. In half PPR, he was 18th per game. In non-PPR, Sanders in 2022 was 13th per game. But he did finish overall top 12 in non and half PPR. But sorry, long-winded question. Can an Eagles running back, Jamie, be a top 12 running back?
Yeah, if they draft the right one. I don't think he's on the roster.
All right, because the reason I'm asking is, it's a great situation. I mean, look, Kelsey's gone, but you know, you're walking into a good offense, but you've got a quarterback who has double-digit rushing touchdowns 3 straight years, and a quarterback who doesn't reliably throw to running backs. So we basically just have a trap back for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's the concern.
And there's your answer.
If they landed on the right running back, you know, it's not necessarily, I think, a byproduct of, you know, Miles Sanders we knew was on his way out the door last season because they weren't going to re-sign him. And so he was great getting them to the Super Bowl. He had a great season and got a big payday that clearly showed you he was flawed and what happened in Carolina. They settled for DeAndre Swift. Now we could say what his pedigree was, how he performed when healthy with Detroit, how he performed with Philadelphia. I mean, you go back to the first game against Tampa Bay. Oh, nobody could run on Tampa Bay. He was a monster against Tampa Bay in week 3. You know, so there was a lot to love about what DeAndre Swift looked like he could do, but clearly he's been flawed. And so do they surprise us and take a Jahmyr Gibbs type running back? I'm not saying him or, you know, we never thought Detroit was going to draft somebody that early. Maybe the Eagles surprise us. We thought maybe the Eagles should take Jahmyr Gibbs. Remember how the draft was going. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe they go out and they get, you know, whatever the rookie running back who may emerge as the second guy or the third guy or the first guy, you know, depending on how the draft unfolds. Or is it, you know, they try and just, okay, listen, we still got a veteran defense that's going to get us, you know, with a piece or two here or there. And it's a Joe Mixon or a Derrick Henry or one of these retread guys. If that's the case, I wouldn't be, you know, potentially excited about it. But if they do decide to go younger and somebody that has a lot of explosiveness, then yeah, that certainly can happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, I wasn't trying to make it a DeAndre Swift problem. I think Swift did fine. It's just, it's not a great role. However, DeAndre Swift had 6 carries that went down to the 1 yard line. Every single one of those was followed up by a Jalen Hurts 1 yard touchdown run. 6 times. Not necessarily on the next play. I think 5 of them were the next play, but eventually he gets down to the 1. Jalen Hurts steals 6 touchdowns. He was on pace. I mean, he barely played in week 1. Remember, it was Kenneth Gainwell. He's on pace for 43 catches if you remove week 1. If you don't remove week 1, he still had 39 catches in 16 games, whatever. So 40 catch running back, if he can get 10 touchdowns, that could be, Dave, that could be a number one guy. Low end, that could be a number one guy. But it's those 40 catches I would have trouble seeing again, I think, for an Eagles running back. I don't know.
I have trouble seeing him get 10 touchdowns as well. And one of the things that we thought that Swift had was an explosive element to his game. Among running backs with at least 100 carries, his explosive rate ranked 18th out of like 40-something backs, which is okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
But it was still just a 7.4% explosive rush rate. I would think that it would have been higher than that. So he did good getting rush yards, just wasn't involved the way that other running backs that are great for fantasy are used. So it kind of stinks, and he's a free agent to boot.
I guess I'd say if you took the 11 rushing touchdowns that Miles Sanders had in 2022 and the 40 catches that Swift had in 2023, if you were able to combine that, then I think you'd be looking at more of a must-start guy.
Can we give him Derrick Henry's yards from 2022?
No. I'm just saying, like, that he had some really bad luck. 6 times getting down to the 1 yard line, and all of those became Jalen Hurts touchdowns. How about this? Just this stat. Eagles running back rushing touchdowns last 3 seasons, 15-18-7. Yeah, there's something there.
They didn't let Boston Scott play against the Giants. That's why.
If the tush push is banned, then the running back for Philadelphia, whomever it may be, could have a glimmer of hope of being top 12.
How you guys doing? How was your weekend? We're done with the show. We can banter now.
Good.
Good.
Watched a lot of football.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that's great. You guys are really very interesting stuff there. What was the most fun thing you did all weekend?
I went to a hotel on the beach with my wife. So left the kids at home.
Okay. Well, that's great. Did you go to the beach? Did you sunbathe?
No, it was too rainy out. So we had some good meals and watched some football. It was fun.
Was it South Beach?
That's great. That sounds great. Is that like an extended anniversary present?
It was a doggy moon. We're about to get a dog.
Oh.
Hey.
That's so weird. I just can't picture Jamie with a dog. Did you have a dog growing up?
No. First one.
Yeah.
I wonder how it'll be at Little League.
Keep the receipt.
That's a tiny dog, so it'll fit in her pocket.
Very cute. All right. Very excited for you. The new addition. Dave, how about you? Most fun thing you did?
I don't know.
Okay, great. Well, I had chicken waffles. Thank you for watching and listening, everybody.
You went sledding, right? First time?
No, that's going to happen today. I'm not going to go sledding. No chance. Like, not,
why not?
You know how much clothing you have to put on to do that? And then it all gets wet. Like,
wait, aren't you still going outside, though?
No, I'm not going outside. I'm going to watch from the living room.
You're going to let your children go outside in the woods by themselves?
No, Allie's here. My wife's here. She'll do all that stuff.
You're making her do it.
Making her? No, this is something she relishes. She's excited for this. She grew up doing all that crap.
She doesn't sauerkraut it?
All right. We're out of here, everybody. See you later. Stay warm.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.